You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Ancient clay tablets were discovered in Crete by the British archaeologist Arthur Evans in 1900, and then it took over 50 years for the 3,000-year-old language that covered them to be deciphered. Marguerite Fox, a linguist and a senior writer for the New York Times, tells the story of how this code was cracked and the often overlooked story behind that story of the important work of an American woman named Alice Kober, who laid the groundwork for deciphering the tablets. Marguerite Fox writes about it in The Riddle of the Labyrinth, The Quest to Crack an Ancient Code. It's published by Echo. I'm very pleased it has brought her back to our show. Hello.
Hello. Thank you so much.
Can you tell us about the archaeologist who discovered these tablets, Arthur Evans, often called the charismatic Arthur Evans?
And later called Sir Arthur Evans. He was Victorian man from Central Casting, Oxford-educated, fabulously wealthy, born in the mid-19th century. And when he knew he wanted to excavate the site of the Palace of Minos at Knossos, Crete, he did what any self-respecting Victorian archaeologist of means would do. He simply bought up all the land and started digging.
Well, what even led him to it? People didn't consider Crete to be a place where they would find very much. Was he kind of like, was this similar to the story of finding Troy?
Well, there is a Troy connection, and that comes in the form of the German archaeologist Heinrich Schliemann, who was famous for unearthing Troy. In a separate excavation, Schliemann worked on the Greek mainland at Mycenae. There, in the late 19th century, he unearthed the ruins of a fabulous Bronze Age civilization that had high art, stunning architecture, all kinds of remarkable stuff. But the one thing Schliemann didn't find was any instance of writing. And this bothered Arthur Evans. He felt so high a civilization would surely have writing, and he vowed to go in search of it.
So that he went to Crete looking for that.
All sorts of minute clues on engraved gems and stones called seal stones that were used to make impressions in clay and wax. All sorts of weird hieroglyphic symbols that were clearly early forms of writing. And every time Evans bought one of these stones from an antiques dealer, he said, "Where did you get it from?" And the answer was always the same. It came from Crete.
Well, wouldn't people have known that the Minoan culture was significant simply by looking at Greek mythology, the story of Theseus killing the Minotaur?
Right, but of course no one knew whether that was just fanciful oral tradition or whether that had a historic basis. When Arthur Evans started digging at Knossos in northeastern Crete in the spring of 1900, he eventually uncovered a vast, sprawling palace, bigger than Buckingham Palace. It spanned 6 acres with hundreds of rooms connected by a network of twisting passages. And he said, aha, surely this is the historic basis of the Cretan labyrinth.
And there were some great wall paintings there as well. It was a very high civilization, actually. So he found that and the tablets?
He found that and the tablets. He found all kinds of marvelous stuff. Within the first week, he found golden treasures. The Minoans were great jewelers. He found wonderful examples of pottery. He found a carved alabaster throne, the oldest throne in Europe, and indeed crumbling frescoes in vivid colors. But the most thrilling thing he found on the excavation's eighth day were clay tablets bearing these strange symbols that looked like no writing ever seen.
And where did he find them?
He found them in various rooms of the palace. You'd often find a whole cache of tablets together at once. In one room, rather charmingly, he found a terracotta bathtub filled with tablets. What were they doing in the bathtub? They had fallen in centuries before when an upper story collapsed. What Evans knew he was looking at was the archival record rooms of this ancient Bronze Age civilization.
How were they dated? They didn't do carbon dating in those days.
No, they didn't, but you could date them by looking for trade goods from other cultures that were of known date, and indeed some Egyptian artifacts of known date were found.
He called the writing that he found on the majority of tablets Linear B. Can you explain what that looks like? And why wouldn't they have been using Egyptian hieroglyphics or one of the other writing methods from some of the other countries that already had some, like Mesopotamia?
Well, as in the history of inventions of all kind, in the history of mankind, often different cultures, widely separated, have pretty much the same idea at once. And writing seems to have involved historically independently in a couple of places, in Sumer, Mesopotamia, in ancient Egypt about 5,000 years ago. This writing system, Linear B, was somewhat more recent. It's about 3,000 years old. It was written in about 1450 B.C. And why is it called Linear B? It raises the question, was there a Linear A? Indeed, there was. Arthur Evans, at the same excavation at Knossos, found a somewhat older script, similar looking, but several hundred years earlier, which he named Linear A. Linear A was clearly an indigenous product created by this Minoan culture who had convened these graphic symbols to set down their indigenous language, whatever it was, we still don't know. And then Linear B followed a couple of hundred years later using the same system to write a different language.
And that was the one that was eventually cracked.
That was the one that was eventually cracked.
Now, what kind of system is this? This is not pictographs. This doesn't have an alphabet.
That's right. It's exactly the third choice, which lies in between the two. If you count the different symbols of Linear B, and there are all sorts of weird little symbols that to modern eyes look like shirt buttons and telegraph poles and dinosaurs and wigwams. If you count the number of discrete symbols, you come up with about 85, and that tells you right away, and Arthur Evans knew this diagnostic, that Linear B is a syllabic system. In this respect, like Japanese writing, in which each character of the script stands for a symbol, whatever it might be, of this unknown language.
So, in other words, this symbol might be the sound ta.
Right. Each symbol sounds for a syllable. Ta, ma, bo, etc.
Did Evans try to decipher it himself?
He tried mightily, and he lived until 1941, so he tried for 41 years to the end of his life with no success. He was in over his head, quite frankly.
Well, this sounds like a very difficult language to decipher. You don't have a Rosetta Stone to help you.
That's exactly right. The Rosetta Stone, of course, which was a coveted bilingual inscription inscribed in Egyptian hieroglyphs on one side and in classical Greek on the other, that, because the Greek inscription could be read with ease, allowed scholars to decipher the hieroglyphs of Egypt in the 19th century. No comparable inscription was ever found for Linear B. So what you have then is an unknown language written in an unknown script. And as I say in the book, that is the linguistic equivalent of a locked room mystery.
Because you can't even break a code because there's nothing that is analogous to the sound that you're looking for. Was there much competition among people trying to decipher it?
Well, Evans, of course, had a great proprietary interest in the inscriptions. It was his civilization. He had, in effect, bought it. And he found, in the end, about 2,000 tablets. And he sat on most of them to the end of his life, allowed scholars to see only a tiny fraction of them. So though other people tried to work on it, he didn't give them much to work with.
I'm speaking with Marguerite Fox. Her book, The Riddle of the Labyrinth, The Quest to Crack an Ancient Code, is published by Echo. One of the people working to decipher it was Alice Kober, who was an assistant professor of classics at Brooklyn College. How did she first encounter Linear B?
Alice Kober was the classic American immigrant daughter of Hungarian new immigrants to America. Her father was an upholsterer. She came up through the city's public education system, and when she graduated from Hunter College right here in Manhattan, she was a classics major. She had encountered Linear B in a course there on Greek life, became entranced by the script. Ancient scripts have that effect on people. And on her graduation, she announced to whoever would listen that she would one day solve the riddle of Linear B.
Well, she didn't really decipher it, but she is credited with building the foundation that led to its decipherment.
Indeed, and she came awfully close. The great tragedy of her life is she died at the age of only 43 in 1950, just 2 years before Michael Ventris, a young English amateur, did indeed crack the code using the method she devised, and scholars now believe that had Kober lived, she might well have solved the riddle of the script herself.
So why has her work been overlooked?
Well, through no malign intent, I want to be very clear about that, but the kind
of... Well, Ventris could have given her more credit, couldn't he?
It was historical happenstance. History is written by and about the victors. Ventris's own life was cut short in 1956, 4 years after he solved the riddle of the script in a rather mysterious accident that may or may not have been suicide, and so he became... kind of sanctified, venerated as a folk hero, and it became his story.
Is there a curse of Linear B? Are you worried?
Yes, I am. I can absolutely guarantee that whoever touches Linear B will one day die.
Can you explain how Kober approached her work? What was her method for solving the mystery? Which seems to be impossible.
It does. And so the question is, how do you ever find your way into a seemingly closed system of an unknown language written in an unknown script? And the answer, which Kober knew better than anyone, was the only way is to look for tiny clues buried within the script itself. And the clues for her took the form of repeated patterns of symbols, and the patterns only become apparent after you spend thousands and thousands of hours poring over these strange thickets of symbols.
But we still don't know what those words mean, do we?
No, we don't. And Kober's great genius was to show that for this decipherment and for any decipherment of an unknown script, the only way to proceed is to treat the symbols not as things that stand for sounds of the language, even though they do, but as objects of pure form and just use them to recognize patterns.
Michael Ventris did finally decipher Linear B. Had he ever met Kober?
They met exactly once when Kober was allowed to come to Oxford in 1948 and actually see some of the inscriptions that Evans's associate had inherited after Evans's death. And Ventris, who was also working on it, was invited to join her in Oxford as well. And it is very clear between the lines of accounts of that visit that they did not like each other. And it's quite clear that he distrusted Kober because she was a woman. She distrusted Ventris because he was an amateur. And it's pretty clear now that each one of them deeply underestimated the other.
Well, what was the leap that he made that led him to figuring out Linear B? And what had Kober gotten wrong or missed?
The really cool thing is that it's so obvious that no one thought of it until 1952, when Ventris, working in his elegant London flat, had an inspired conjecture, and it was this. Everyone knew that the tablets were the civil documents, if you were, of this Bronze Age civilization. They recorded what was harvested in the culture, what was bought and sold in the palace, and he thought, well, on any civil document, what do you have? And in my own life in Manhattan, on the civil documents, on all my jury summonses, my tax forms, one thing comes up over and over. Somewhere on them it says, City of New York. And Ventris said, aha, what if these Cretan civil documents likewise contain the names of Cretan towns? And indeed, that turned out to be the case.
Is the language at all like ancient Greek?
The language is ancient Greek, as Ventris discovered. Contrary to everyone's expectations, Linear B was used to write not some pre-Hellenic indigenous language of Crete, as had long been supposed, but in fact a very early dialect of Greek. So it was indeed recording the language and culture of the first Greek peoples.
And I would assume the Mycenaean people as well.
Right. The Greeks of this age.
They were controlled pretty much.
Right. Greeks of this age are now called Mycenaean Greeks, and it was they who, rude, unlettered barbarians, poured in from the Greek mainland, colonized these peaceable, cultured, and literate Minoans, and appropriated this magical way that the Minoans had developed for writing language down.
Well, those Indo-Europeans also brought Iron Age to Greece, because this early culture was a Bronze Age culture, wasn't it?
Yes, this is, we're talking about the Bronze Age.
And we're talking about Marguerite Fox's book, The Riddle of the Labyrinth, The Quest to Crack an Ancient Code. It is published by Echo. I'm so glad that we have cracked it.
I'm glad, too. Thank you
so
much.
There's still some symbols that we haven't figured out.
Right, and scholars being scholars, there are always interpretations of individual tablets that will continue to be debated, but the overwhelming majority of the several thousand Linear B tablets can now be read.
And do we know whether Midas had the golden touch?
That we don't know, but we know what gods they worshipped, what the gods like to get as sacrificial offerings. They like to get a lot of wine. They weren't stupid, these gods. And we really have this marvelous written window onto how men and women lived 3,000 years ago.
Marguerite Fox is an award-winning journalist and a trained linguist. She's a senior writer for the New York Times. The book, The Riddle of the Labyrinth. Thank you so much for being on our show again.
Oh, my pleasure.